This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
So we got some leaked footage of the body cams from the George Floyd incident. And that is obviously a big breaking news story today. You're listening to the Kevin Jackson Show. Charles Love sitting in here. And as with all of these cases, you're going to get a lot of analysis. I watched a portion of it. Didn't pull any clips this time. But my immediate response and reaction to it is similar to most of the other police altercations that are caught on tape. It's going to cause a lot of fervor, a lot of back and forth, and a lot of living room lawyers. But in the end, it's not going to change any minds. Those who feel that the police were wrong will say there's evidence on the tape that Floyd was resisting arrest, and those out on the street marching will continue to say this is the greatest crime of the century, and the body cam proves he did nothing wrong, and this is just bigger than Floyd. The reaction to these things as they come out and the way people analyze them, you can't account for human nature and emotion. And what people will do is they'll say those cops should have done this, but they won't say anything about what Floyd did or didn't do or what he should or should not have done. I don't think anything in the video even points to the principal officer in the case. It's more viewed as what the other cops were doing and what they were thinking and how they led to that case. And it's going to be really, most of the focus is going to be on Floyd himself, how he acted and what he did. But no one's going to say that it justified him dying. So looking at the video and all the comments that we'll get won't really change any of that. But like I say, I compare it to the other incidents where you got a guy clearly on video carrying a weapon, and the police say he had a weapon. We didn't see it. They'll say they didn't believe it. The video comes out. People will watch it and say, well, that wasn't a weapon, or they could have done something different. So the problem in these situations are people who have predisposed views on race, on police, on these altercations, and you're never going to change what they believe. The other day I talked about Tyler Perry and played some clips of Tyler Perry in the interview with Anderson Cooper. And even in the part where he talked about how he did not agree with defunding the police, he said that he tried to kind of be even keel with a lot of people do, which is part of the problem in today's society, that you have to say something that's clearly true, universally true, and then follow it up with, but I'm not saying, because God forbid you tell the truth and guess an ugly truth and just leave it at that without saying, but I don't mean. But in that, he said that he just stands up against anything wrong. He said it was wrong when the officer did this. He said, and he used some examples. And he talked about when the little girl got shot in Atlanta outside the Wendy's, that was wrong. And then he said when Rayshard Brooks was shot, that was wrong. And I looked at him and I said, was it? Was it really? That was on video. And a vast majority of people said it was wrong. I was like, so no issues with him resisting arrest, some body slamming a cop, the punch didn't do anything for you. taking a weapon, nothing to do with you. But see, that's what these people do. They'll say, they'll explain it all away. Well, he never should have gotten that point. They should leave him alone. He was only sleeping in a car. They bring in all this other stuff that is hooked to and tied to emotion, not reality. The reality is the police were called. The reality is the police have a responsibility to deal with the situation. The reality is, yes, a lot of that conversation was calm and respectful on both sides until it wasn't. And that's what police work is like. It's dirty. The reality is he got into a fight with two officers, and the reality is he took his taser. So you saying that, but he was running, how far was he going to go? It's silly. You saying, but the taser was already shot, so he probably wouldn't be able to tase the police officers anyway, or they're wearing a vest. It's silly. And these people never focus on the actions of the perpetrator. And the same will be here. There will be many people who think it's perfectly fine to get pulled over, have a police officer tap on the window and say, please don't shoot me. I didn't do anything. And they'll watch this video and say, he never even resisted. When right there in the video, someone who was in the car with him audibly says, stop resisting. Not the police officer. So then they'll try to spin your words and say, so you're justifying holding him down on the ground for 8 minutes. No. They'll say, you're just giving him a pass. No, I'm looking at the same video you're looking at, and I'm talking about the video. What you're doing is justifying some behavior and making other behavior worse. And I'm just saying, look at the video and say, the behavior is what the behavior is. So it's going to be a lot of talk about this. You're probably going to look at it and check it out yourself. So my summation is, it's not going to change anyone's mind. It doesn't exonerate Chauvin. It doesn't paint George Floyd in a positive light. And none of it speaks to the madness that the country has devolved in since that. Even if that video showed them tapping on the window and then just shooting him, that is not an indication of the country. It says nothing about the way policing is done or should done and should be done in most cases. And that's just one city. So it does not justify the rioting and the looting and things of that nature, and definitely does not justify people going out and falsely saying this country is all racist and there's systemic racism, and my proof is that one guy gets shot. That's not proof. That is an isolated incident that you're trying to use to justify some political or ill-advised racial end. So that will be the news of the day from the George Floyd case until the next shoe drops.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Wake up and text. Text and eat. Mm-mm. Text and catch the bus. Text and miss your stop.
Wait.
Text and be late to work.
Sorry, I'm late.
Text and work. Text and pretend to work. Text and act surprised when someone calls you out for not working.
Who, me?
Text and meet up with a friend you haven't seen in forever.
Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that overall you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't sat in your lap in months. And even more stuff, but still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed, and they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs, and it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community.
So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff, create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
Extendivite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens, and we're proud to promote amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Visit GCNLife.com for products like Luminesce. The Luminesce anti-aging skincare line restores youthful vitality and radiance to your skin, reducing the appearances of fine lines and wrinkles with stem cell technology. There's also Instantly Ageless, which works within 2 minutes, reducing under-eye bags, fine lines, wrinkles, and pores. Jeunesse has products to help you with how you look and feel in a very short time. Nobel-nominated Dr. Vincent Jampapa has designed several products helping the body perform better. Jeunesse products have a 30-day money-back guarantee, and they're available up to a 25% preferred price discount. See all of the amazing Jeunesse products at GCNLife.com or call toll-free 1-844-443-6637. 1-844-443-6637.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
And it didn't cost us a dime.
People are on edge. Welcome to the Kevin Jackson Show. Charles loves sitting in. Follow me on Twitter at CDouglasLove3. People are on edge with this COVID thing. Now, I talk a lot about human nature and say that people don't just automatically do the right thing. We all have negative urges and have to stop ourselves sometime, that little voice inside. We learn as we grow older and get wiser. So I don't want to say that COVID is causing all the bad things that happen. It just makes it worse as people are locked up and they just feel they need to get out and do something. In addition to COVID, the other problem is the government constraining our freedom and what we can do. Now, some people out there think that COVID is such a problem that it's the right thing to do. I'm not even saying that they're wrong now. I don't believe it, but you can have that conversation, but it doesn't matter. Even if they're right, it doesn't change the fact that people react the way they feel is best at the time, even when they do things that are wrong. And every action has a reaction. And if they feel that they want to do something, some people will do what they want to do regardless of that. And there's examples of this all over the country. In San Francisco, some city official described it as an American horror story. And you go to the San Francisco paper and look, there's a picture. And what he's talking about is people sitting in a park. Seems like an odd thing to call a horror story. But what happens is with COVID, they're telling people to social distance, and constantly through media and celebrities and commercials and billboards and police threats telling you, you must stay apart, you must wear a mask. And some people simply won't go for it. And here, you know, we tend to highlight the most extreme versions. I'll get to a couple of those. But sometimes it's just people like, I want to go to the park. I'm going to go sit in a park. And here there's a picture of lots and lots of people sitting in a park. You know, these people in the government who say they want to, or they have to control what we do because this thing is so dangerous, have to decide. And that's what all of this really is. It's balancing both sides of an issue, whether it's school or whatever else you do. It's the importance of the things we want to do and the risks associated with them. And it's a balancing act. So they feel it's important enough to stop people from going outside and congregating in groups. Now, the group decides to do it. They have to decide if it's important enough to go out there with a large police presence and snatch them off the park. But also in California, on a sad note, and in a different part of California, there were four people reportedly shot at a Beverly Hills party that they say was thrown by an unidentified NFL player. As sad as that is, they also say the four people were critical when they went to the hospital. In the article, I'm reading from the New York Post, a security officer tried to describe first the party before the shooting, saying, we have money, we are people. This COVID, I mean, is just pushing us out everywhere. And we have nothing, so the only thing we do is, only thing we have is Airbnbs to rent, swimming pools for our kids, to do the big things, things of that nature. So, again, saying people will do what they will do. And there's a picture, and there's lots of people. You go back to COVID, not social distancing, and standing on a balcony. And one of the people at the party described it saying that there were buses arriving with hundreds of people just packing this house. So we spend, as we talk about the news of the day, in different variations, different things happening. We agree with this one. We disagree with that one. You know, that's part of what we do on talk radio, and that's part of what we do as people. We talk about what's happening. Man, did you see this? What's your opinion on this? But that's why I say a lot of the times I approach this from a micro standpoint, because macro, I said micro, didn't I? A macro standpoint, because it all comes down to human nature and people going to do things. And we're trying to control things that we can't control. There was a man who shot at police with an AK-47, the article says. I'm sure it probably wasn't. That's just what they saw when they looked at it. Because the police asked him to wear a mask. We have a man in Florida, I believe, who shot and killed a Burger King employee because the orders were taking too long. Apparently, it wasn't even him. It was kind of like that situation back at the Family Dollar in Michigan where they killed a security guard and the woman went to get somebody else. Same thing here. The drive-thru was backed up. Guy was taking too long. A woman got into an altercation with him. He gave her the money back and asked her to leave, and she said she was coming back with, quote, her man. The boyfriend came back, got into an altercation with the guy, went back to his car, came back, said, you got 2 seconds before I shoot you, and he shot him. This is an extremely sad story, obviously, but it makes you wonder as we talk about the crime uptick and we talk about an election year and we talk about all these different things that are so important. We talk about racism and Black Lives Matter and taking a knee and how we're going to fix this injustice. How do you police that? There was no cop involved. I don't think the shooter was a white man. There was no, that wasn't a COVID situation. How do you police that? I don't think it was someone who had, you know, a prior history of, what do they say, mental illness. So there were no warning signs. That woman went to get her boyfriend who shot someone over drive-through fast food. This is, unfortunately, human nature. What we have here is a human problem and now a cultural problem as things shift. And too many want to ignore it. Others look to the wrong sources to find a solution or to try to determine the cause of the problem. And it's not just shootings. It's other things that's happening. There's more anger. Everything's a fight. People fight over masks. They fight over parking spots. People fight at restaurants. I just saw a story recently in Chicago where seven members of one family went to the hospital after a fight in the back of a pool hall. I don't know how this ends or when this ends, but it won't end by us looking to the government. We need to look to God and within ourselves to find the solution.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Cancer categorizes over 100 diseases. Though we do not diagnose, treat, or cure cancer, GCN team is offering the Clemson University study where there was up to a 95% reduction in cancerous cells when exposed to a plant-derived mineral supplement. If you or a loved one are searching for answers to this horrifying disease, come to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. We'll email you a copy for free. That's 877-878-4203.
With gun theft on the rise, it's crucial that law-abiding citizens hide their guns from criminals who are now becoming desperate. Learn exactly how with the newly updated Hide Your Guns e-manual, written by a former U.S. Special Forces officer who now reveals his field-tested secrets. Whether it's sneaky ways to hide your guns in plain sight or using extremely clever hiding places that even skilled thieves will never suspect, learn how to hide other valuables too, like cash, gold coins, credit cards, so that they're safe from thieves but back in your hands instantly when needed. All this week, get four free bonuses when you order. Gun Debate Bootcamp, How to Argue with Liberals About Guns and Win Every Time audio program. Our No BS Home Defense Report, the best-selling Your Home, Your Fortress e-manual, and a special mystery bonus worth $25. Go to hideyourguns.com. That's hideyourguns.com. Don't let your guns be stolen and used in a crime. Go to hideyourguns.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Senate Majority Leader from Kentucky, Mitch McConnell, says Democrats have given a little, but very little, in ongoing talks for a new stimulus package.
Because while Americans are struggling, the Democratic leaders have moved about one inch in 8 days.
Senate Republicans are introducing a bill that would temporarily extend enhanced unemployment while negotiations continue. President Trump clarifying again the difference between mail-in voting and absentee voting.
No, absentee is okay because you have to go through a process, Brian, and you go through a process and you make a request and they send it to you and you get it and you fill it out and it's a process and it's a smaller number. What they're going to do is blanket the state. Anybody that ever walked, frankly, will get one.
The day President Trump referring to Nevada. You're listening to USA Radio News. Sally Yates, a former acting attorney general at the start of the Trump administration, is testifying on the Russia investigation before the Senate Judiciary Committee. Chair of that committee, Republican Senator from South Carolina, Lindsey Graham, questioning Yates on the unmasking of President Trump's national security advisor, Michael Flynn.
Here's what I want to understand. It's a counterintelligence investigation that led to the interview. You didn't authorize the interview. As a matter of fact, you wanted to go to the White House and tell them about the problem, didn't you?
That's right. I did. I thought that that was the more immediate issue.
And when you heard about the interview, you got upset, didn't you?
I was upset that Director Comey didn't coordinate that with us and acted unilaterally. Yes, I was.
Did Comey go rogue?
Then you could use that term, yes.
The University of Connecticut becomes the first Division I major program to announce they won't play football in 2020. This is USA Radio News.
It has to end here.
Actually, it's just gotten started.
No!
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
How to help the American people. You're listening to the Kevin Jackson Show. I am Charles Love sitting in. I'm the Assistant Executive Director of Seeking Educational Excellence. I work with Kevin on trying to improve opportunities for people. Talk about opportunities because I want to know here how we help people. Up on Capitol Hill, the political parties are fighting about stimulus, what to do and how to bail people out and help them deal with the crisis of COVID. And one particular point of contention has become what to do about evictions. They gave people, most states, stay of evictions for a while. And in this polarized country we're in, people like to make everything political and say, see, this party did this and this party did this, but you find out reality is a lot different from what you hear in the media. There are Republican governors who had lockdowns, Democrat governors who didn't, vice versa, whatever the case may be. Same with the evictions. Most states suspended the eviction course. So as a landlord, you can go to your tenant and say, hey, you haven't paid rent because your notice going through the process, you get out. But there's nothing you can do about it because everything just stops there. And the concern now is both when will that end and what will state governments do because they're going to have a backlog of evictions. And in California, their ban ended and the governor extended to September 30th. But here we are already in August. So people are frantic saying, what are we going to do when that ends? That's why. Before I was talking about the economy and helping businesses, that's why until people get back to work, none of this is really going to matter because you're just going to keep moving this thing along and not addressing the other side. So the president made a comment that was somewhat surprising on the front end, but then he did his typical thing about the Democrats and how they're failing or what they're doing. But I want to play what Trump said about evictions specifically, and then follow up with my comments.
People are going to be evicted, but I'm going to stop it because I'll do it myself if I have to. I have a lot of powers with respect to executive orders, and we're looking at that very seriously right now. But what the Democrats want, they want it. They're slow rolling it. And all they're really interested in is bailout money to bail out radical left governors and radical left mayors like in Portland and places that are so badly run. Chicago, New York City. You see what's going on over there? Bail out cities and states who have been poorly run and spent a fortune doing it. They want $1 trillion, and we're really not interested in that.
President Trump has an uncanny ability of making everybody disagree with things he says. I listened to that and I kind of chuckled because I said, I could see if you had a room of Democrats and then a separate room of Republicans watching that same clip and having them react to it, how they would, you know, if they weren't people that just bristled at everything he said, but they were just reacting to what he said. They'll go, oh, I like that. Wait, I don't like that. Oh, I like that. Oh, I don't like that. I like that. Because the eviction thing, I'm sure many on the left would say, well, that's good. He's going to help them out. And, you know, I like that part. And, you know, Republicans' initial reactions will probably be, no, more bailouts. See, I knew you weren't really, you know, focusing on what you're supposed to and sticking with your conservatism. But you have to take that next piece before he got to the Democrat bashing where he talked about what they wanted to give. So it seems to me this is his response if Congress is not able to come up with a deal. But also he's saying they want to give people money because they're claiming he doesn't want to give people more money. And he's saying that they're claiming that these people need their money to pay their rent and to pay their mortgages and such. So he's kind of like saying, if I do this executive order on evictions and give it a stay for whatever period of time, then you don't have to worry about paying those bills. So then we don't have to give you $600 a week. So then those people who like that would just go right back and say, wait, well, if they're getting that and they're replacing that, using this executive order on eviction to replace the money, then they won't have a problem with it. And then the conservatives may say, well, I still don't like it, but it may cost a lot less than X because it doesn't cost us any money to do the eviction stay. But that's all politics. But what happens in the real world to the real people? Most people, well, let's be fair. Most people care about what happens to other people. They don't want to see other people hurt. And they know that a lot of people are out of work and that will make it difficult to pay rent and mortgages. But they also need to understand that that hurt is not confined only to that particular individual who is renting. And that, again, if no one's addressing how we got into this mess, and the fact that we're still in it and no one's doing anything to change that, that it really won't fix anything. I have someone in my family who I won't say name who has a property and they rent. So they're technically a landlord. It's just like the minimum wage thing when you act like everybody's McDonald's and Walmart. So they rent, but they have no other income and they live in one of the units. So their tenants pay rent. They eat and get their medicine and take care of the things that they, the basic needs of life. Their tenants don't pay rent. They struggle to do that stuff. And when you tell people they can't pay rent, unfortunately, like I was talking about earlier and I always talk about human nature, people will take advantage, some will. So some people who are still working and can afford to pay their rent would just not pay it. I like to keep this money in my pocket. They're not that. You can say that they still owe the money, not paying the rent and not being able to be evicted doesn't mean that they don't owe the rent. But some people aren't forward thinking, right? They don't look at it that way. So they just say, all I know is right now I get to keep some money in my pocket. I had a tenant actually tell their landlord, say, well, I need the money in order. If you don't pay your rent, I can't pay my mortgage. They say, well, don't pay your mortgage then. We all good. We all got to stay. What you complaining about? You know, that's the way some people live their life. It's just, you know, free and easy and no worries, which is fine under two conditions. One, the fact that you're willing to live with the consequences of living like that, and you don't force me to live like that as well. And that's what this is doing. On the other hand, you have landlords who are taking it into their own hands to try to solve the problem of loss of income. They tell stories
in the article I was reading about landlords turning off utilities, blocking up doors, doing things of that nature to keep their tenants out or to force them to pay rent, which is against the law, and they definitely should not be doing that. And in typical fashion with these newspapers who lean left, they also had to squeeze in a little identity politics and say, for some tenants, landlords have an extra way to incentivize them to pay rent. They tell them, if you don't pay your rent, we're going to call ICE on you. One, that's got to be, you know, a small percentage of people that would do that and that are in a position where that can't be done to them. But it also implies that a certain segment of the population are more likely not to pay their rent. But that's wrong. There's going to be a point of contention on both sides. But the bigger problem is we paint a picture of landlords as all being these wealthy real estate moguls, like everyone's Trump or Walmart. Everybody who is a landlord is not this large company with 1,000 units. So they will need that money. But like the other piece is true too. Some people just don't understand because they live for now. They don't understand if your rent is $2,500 a month and you haven't paid in 4 months and your landlord gave you the notice, whether it's 3 or 5 days or however long it is in your city. The average person is not going to be holding on. If you're the type of person who's not paying your rent, you're not the type of person that's going to be saving that money and doing something good with it. So 6 months, however many months go by, when the eviction court's finally open and you finally end up going, you're going to stand before that judge in, you know, 10 or at that point, maybe even more. You're probably going to continue not to pay $20,000 in arrears. You're not going to have the money. You're going to get evicted. You're going to have a hard time renting again because your landlord is going to put that on your credit. And at some point, they're going to come after you. So this eviction thing is bigger than Trump or the Democrats or Republicans or the landlord and the tenant. It's the economy, stupid, again. What are we going to do to fix the income coming in instead of just focusing on the payments and the money going out?
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Keyboard Cat, Hamilton the Pug, and Toast Meets World. These are some of the internet's most beloved pets. With millions of YouTube views, shares, Instagram likes, followers, and fans across the globe. But what do all these amazing pets have in common? Their stories started in a shelter. Start your story. Adopt a dog or cat today. Visit theshelterpetproject.org to find a shelter or adoptable pets near you. Training that pet to play the keyboard? Well, that's entirely up to you. Visit theshelterpetproject.org and hear more about Hamilton the Pug, Toast, and Keyboard Cat's amazing adoption stories. Start a story. Adopt a shelter or rescue pet today. Your perfect pet is just a click away at theshelterpetproject.org. A public service announcement brought to you by Maddie's Fund, the Humane Society of the United States, and the Ad Council.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNLife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNLife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We are GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. We've got listeners, lots of them. Around the world, around the clock, our listeners do what listeners do. They listen. And you know what listeners got? Needs. Needs for your products, your services, and money to buy those needs. With our network of over 1,000 radio stations, streaming on the web, and our satellite transmissions, we're reaching our listeners with quality conservative programming. But there's something our listeners don't have. Your offer to meet their needs. Any business needs buyers. But if our listeners don't hear your message, they're still going to buy what they need. Just not from your business. So let's fix this. Tell us about your business. Then let our super creative department go to work to craft just the right message for our GCN listeners. Get started today with GCN, the Genesis Communications Network. Just shoot us an email. advertise@gcnlive.com.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full-body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
There's so much hand sanitizer on the market, but beware. Not all hand sanitizers are created equal. That's why you want to use 2020 Safe Hand Sanitizer. You can trust the hand sanitizer on 2020safe.net to be made with the highest quality ingredients. American made with American ingredients employing Americans. Log on now to 2020safe.net and order your 1 liter today. Normally $29.99, but reduced to $19.99. So hurry while supplies last and receive a bonus. That's right. You'll receive a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster, a $39.95 value, free, by using code GCN at checkout. Right now, click 2020safe.net. That's 2020safe.net to get our 1 liter bottle of high-quality hand sanitizer with your free bonus, a 30-count bottle of Immune Booster valued at $39.95. Remember to enter GCN at checkout, and the bonus is yours, free, 2020safe.net.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Con Kevino Jacksones.
So you can file this under the category of confirming what you already know. You're listening to the Kevin Jackson Show. I am Charles Love, sitting in for Kevin. I am the Assistant Executive Director of Seeking Educational Excellence and the host of the Liberty Hour on AM 560 The Answer in Chicago from 7 to 9 p.m. Central. Follow me on Twitter at CDouglasLove3. Speaking about Ariana Picari, she is a producer at MSNBC's Lawrence O'Donnell show. She wrote a letter she posted on her website that went viral. And the title of it is Personal News, Why I Am Now Leaving MSNBC. In the letter, she talks about bias in the mainstream media. Imagine that. She said that she had been concerned about what was going on for a while,
thought about leaving. Had a couple friends tell her she should stick it out, and she suffered through it for a year and a half until she really couldn't take it anymore. And like I said at the beginning, this is, for many of you, just confirming what you already know. But as more brave people stand up and do this, not necessarily brave to quit, lots of people, even though it's, you know, a little bit, and when you quit and you don't have another job, and then with the uncertainty of the times now, it's a kind of a bold step. But to write about it and just honestly let people know what's out there. I don't know much about her politics, but I would assume she's not an ardent right winger, because she probably wouldn't be able to suffer working there that long. So she at the very least has to be a moderate. And she talks about how it is taboo to discuss the rating scheme and how it distorts content. But behind closed doors, industry leaders will admit that the damage is already done. So she talks about how they will forego any kind of journalistic integrity to get big ratings. Now, I don't think that's exclusive to MSNBC, but they also do it to push a particular narrative, and she makes that clear. We are a cancer, and there is no cure, is what one of the TV veterans told her. She talks about how even in the middle of both a civil rights crisis and with what's going on with COVID, it did not do anything to stop them from blocking the diversity of thought and content, because the network has an incentive to amplify fringe voices. She said that, these are her words, the cancer risks human lives even in the middle of the pandemic. The primary focus quickly became what Donald Trump was doing poorly to address the crisis, rather than the science itself. So if new details came out saying that there was good medicine, the infection rate was lower, he was right about this, they found this great news, they would downplay it. You see, their plan was to not show anything that would shine the president in a good light and highlight those things that would not. And when it came to politics, they would continue to repeat all these old negative stories about Trump from 2016 and drown out most of the other coverage so as not to talk about Joe Biden. It was important to ensure that citizens can vote by mail, even though they got information saying that there were problems with it. And you can see that everywhere now outside of MSNBC. The New York Times has run several articles, and other publications have run articles as well, not just saying that Trump is wrong about mail-in voting, right? Okay, opinion piece, pretty straight. But no, they're writing stories that say universal mail-in voting, best thing since sliced bread. This is the way that they write about it. And she says that, at least at MSNBC, I don't believe that's the only place, that this is intentional. She talks about producers and how they choose stories, and they would talk about how it rated and not whether it was important or factual, how they needed to create a structure where they can charge more money for commercials. It's typical rating stuff. But I want to focus more on the partisanship, highlighting the negatives of Trump and other GOPs, discounting Biden's issues. There's examples like this, and keep in mind, she's writing her about her experience at MSNBC, but this is not specific to them. I read a story today, I don't remember where it was from, but this was like pretty high up the priority, pretty close to the top of the site, talking about Trump mispronounces Yosemite, and they had a little short clip of him reading the speech, and, you know, you chuckle at it or whatever, but they made it on this particular site seem like he had said the wrong name to the president of another country, or he had done something serious. But this is kind of what they do, big and small. It doesn't matter. As long as it works to look bad, then it all works together. What this does, I believe, in addition to painting one political party in a positive light and the other in a negative light, and in addition to turning off a large segment of the population and hurting your credibility, which is important, it suppresses other news, right? There are a lot of things that are going on, the things that they suppress about the topics they talk about, but then also things that happen that you don't really hear about. And that's because, hey, we only have room for Trump and all things Trump. I think it's brave and important that she does it. Like I said before, we need more people to do it. And she's not alone. There was the woman, I think her name's Barry Weiss from the New York Times, who was a self-professed moderate, but she felt that the Times needed to invite all different points of view and let people write opinions that don't necessarily mesh with the people who work there. So she let a Republican senator write an opinion sheet. A lot of people were upset about that. She voiced some middle-of-the-road opinions. And so she said because of that, she started to get bullied, and they treated her differently and kind of pressured her, and she ended up quitting. Andrew Sullivan, British journalist at New York Magazine, recently left there saying the same thing. So there are people out there that are getting to the point that they feel that they have to say something, but we need more of them, and it's good that the two of them did that. But they're not alone. 150 people, mostly not even moderates, I'd have to say that most of them were liberals, wrote about the cancel culture. And so they wrote this letter saying that this cancel culture is dangerous, and it's been weaponized, and that is absolutely true. And people like that, I believe, also will play a part in what happens in this, or whether this pushback, I guess I'll say, because if you don't have moderates saying anything and there's only conservatives talking about it, then you're never really going to get traction, because people will say it's a political or a partisan thing. And what I liked about the letter, to prove that wasn't the point, here's one line from that letter. It says, "The forces of illiberalism are gaining strength throughout the world and have a powerful ally in Donald Trump, who represents a real threat to democracy. But resistance must not be allowed to harden into its own brand of dogma or coercion, which right-wing demagogues are already exploiting. No logical person, hey, not even an insane person, can read that paragraph and say that this letter was written by a bunch of right-wingers." And there's plenty of names on here many people know. Noam Chomsky, J.K. Rowling, Malcolm Gladwell, some really big names. Gloria Steinem signed it. So their point is, we don't like Trump. We think he's toxic, but you don't get to just rewrite morals, logic, and reality. And that's kind of what Ariana's saying. That's what Barry Weiss was saying, that all we're trying to do is be true journalists, and you're not allowing that because of your anger and hatred for Trump. So I hope that this encourages some others to do the same thing. Come out and tell their experiences.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.
Putting an end to identity politics.
And now for something completely different.
This is the Kevin Jackson Radio Show.